Come up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling liver half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Pull up Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flex it in the air, huh? From the rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw them up, lay it down just like Matt Amari. Wrestling liver half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like The Rock, cause I'm driving in Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.
Hi, everyone. Welcome back to the Wrestling Wrap Up Podcast. I'm your host, Mari Forth, and with me, as always, my co-host. The contracts are officially re-signed. We're back. We're back again. We haven't walked out. The Trick Williams to my Carmelo Hayes, Mr. Matt Scott. Matt, how's it going?
It's good. It's good. We really had to go into, there was a lot going on. You know, I know some people were talking about how there might have been a lawsuit between the two of us, which is how we avoided being on the same podcast together for way too long. Mm-hmm. 2 weeks, maybe, but it feels like maybe 3 weeks. Probably three weeks.
It feels like an eternity.
It was an eternity. Weird. So we weren't in a lawsuit. I did have to go visit Rob in person to get the contract signed. I held him up for the money, and we're here, you know, old school wrestling, making it happen. Back. So we're back. We are back.
Our lawyers looked over the agreements, so we're good.
Yeah.
We're good. We have hashed out our personal beef.
Yeah, it was rough. It was, by the way, don't lie to the people, Mari. I'm not here as always. We're not, neither of us is here all the time, apparently, as of a couple weeks ago. So.
For the first time ever. It is great to be back. And I mean, it's great to start kind of where you started. We didn't get to talk about the fallout from Double or Nothing. So this is old news. But I like I said on the Hell in a Cell preview podcast, I thought you guys did an amazing job, Matt. So shout out to you and Ari and Ryan. It was I learned so much, and I felt way more prepared for the Double or Nothing pay-per-view, but I guess none of us were prepared for what happened after here. So
you
guys rightfully called it that CM Punk won the title, much to my chagrin, because we know I am a Hangman Page fan. But immediately after winning the title, he's injured. I think he had a foot injury. I think it was.
And I'm not sure exactly when it happened in the match, but there was this, I think twice in the match, and people were really kind of dragging him for it. But CM Punk went for the buckshot lariat and just kind of botched both times. And I guess Adam Page makes it look easy, but Punk, I don't know if that's when he hurt himself or what it was, but he is out of action as of now. And so they kind of need to replace him and figure out what to do over on the AEW side of things. But rough times.
Very interesting that AEW, they kind of go like the boxing or MMA route by like they didn't strip him of the title. They're just going to create a new interim champion, which I think is, I think I like that, you know, because I mean, inherently you have a built in storyline when he comes back, you know, the champion versus champion match, but it is face there.
I like it. I like it. And I think that this is one of the examples where AEW they don't feel like they need to do things like WWE does them. And obviously we could go on and on about issues with AEW or with WWE for that matter. But I really like this because then it sets up something where Punk comes back, steals the championship, and you almost have like, who's the real champion? And then they have to sort that out, which builds in a storyline. It is kind of unfortunate because, I mean, it's always unfortunate whenever someone wins a championship and then they're injured or out. I mean, obviously, and we'll talk about this, but this isn't the only high profile injury, you know, from someone who won a main event recently. And so, yeah, it's a rough time, rough June for these wrestlers.
Wrestlers, yeah, a lot of injuries definitely piling up. Like,
yeah,
very scary. So hopefully everybody's feeling good. But so in order to crown the new champion, they had John Moxley had advanced as one part of the new champion match. And then on Dynamite, they had a casino battle royale to figure out who his opponent will be. And it ended up being Kyle O'Reilly. So very mixed reactions from the match there. Biggest thing is that Hangman wasn't even in the battle royal, which is really kind of weird to me. Some questionable bookings in that battle royal with Swerve eliminating Keith Lee. You know, hopefully that doesn't put their tag team in any jeopardy or anything like that.
Yeah. And it's interesting. And I think that I'm not that. So Swerve and Keith Lee, yes, I'm with you. Didn't love that. But I will say that, like, Hangman Page, he kind of should have, like, I don't know if he becomes the third man in the dynamic of, like, okay, we have Mox, we have Kyle O'Reilly, and we have Page. Hangman Page, I should say, because we'll probably be talking about a different Page probably at some point. There's so many Pages out there in this game. Mm-hmm. But yeah, I would like to see him, like, hot-shotted to that championship. I mean, maybe he will end up being the interim champion. We never know.
But that it was really funny listening to you guys talk about Double or Nothing, because y'all were just, nobody was coming to defense of Hangman. I'm like, if I was there.
Well,
like,
to be fair, I said Mari is a fan of this cowboy-ish, as we might say. To me, you know, maybe it's, I don't know. I just don't have the best relationship with cowboys.
It's just, I like the y'all one from hate Toy pure Story. Baby faces. Y'all hate pure baby faces.
I think Woody from Toy Story, pure baby face cowboy. That's, one of my favorite characters, Mari.
I think Hangman Page is one of, like, the few pure baby faces that they have on that roster. And I say that because, like, it's very like white meat. It's very like John Cena in a sense, like that, not meaning their gimmicks are similar, but meaning their reactions and how they come across. It's very white meat baby face, as opposed to some of your other baby faces and your other faces in the company. Like, you know, the Young Bucks are kind of like, he doesn't feel like he feels like he's too cool for people. You know what I'm saying? Like, That company has a lot of faces where it's like, oh, I have to be cool. I have to be hard. Like, even Mox. Mox is like a face, but he to me, he's not a white meat baby face. He's more of an edgy, cool face. And everybody tries to kind of get over type deal. And I never really gotten that sense from Hangman Adam Page. And I love that about him.
Yeah, I feel like AEW really has a lot of cool... a lot of people who go for like either the cool heel thing or cool face, like it's just different. They bring that edgier thing that you're talking about. Page, like with Hangman, his booking has just been odd. Like leading into Double or Nothing, just watching through everything, I'm like, is he supposed to be a heel? Because he was very upset with CM Punk. For no reason at all. The booking there was strange. It wasn't motivated. I don't think that helped him. But
yeah, and I feel like it was strange because they still weren't sure what to do with CM Punk, because it felt like CM Punk was going towards heel, but they never committed. So with his character being very in between, it made the feud between him and Paige feel very weird. Like that's what I mean. That's the kind of stuff like that kind of can be muddied. And very hard to pick somebody to root for. So I understood why you guys like were, you know, just cheering for Punk, because at that point, Paige hasn't done anything.
Look, next time that you talk, that we talk about AEW, you could stand by your man, Paige.
Yeah. And,
you know, it's cool, whatever. You know, but it'll be interesting to see how this develops. I don't know. I just don't know how much I care about the interim championship, to be honest. Yeah. Like if it was used to make a new star, that could have been fun, but it does feel like it's just, let's spin the wheels and keep things as they are, which
yeah.
that and happens it, sometimes when people are injured.
And I'd be very shocked if it doesn't go to Mox. Like, I'd be very, very shocked if, yeah.
Honestly, we'll see. We'll see. But, you know, is Kyle O'Reilly
set up Kyle O'Reilly versus Moxley? You think
could you imagine?
You think they'd give AEW's top belt to Kyle O'Reilly before?
I do not think they would. Think they would, but that would be a lot cooler if he had it than if Mox had it. Cool. I love Mox, but, you know, just switch it up, mix it up.
So also we got to talk about the MJF promo and the walkout. Well, I mean, we're not gonna like really talk about it. It's been like 2 weeks, but like we got so many like people like tuning in about MJF's promo, which was a really passionate promo, one of the best promos ever. Like, it's very good. Well, it's MJF. Like,
yeah,
why are you gagging? She brings it to you every ball. I don't understand.
Yeah, and MJF, look, it's just, it's a very tumultuous situation. We were talking about MJF and everything on the AEW episode with Ryan and Ari just a couple weeks ago. So, you know, there's been a lot leading into that. And a lot of people have said, is it a work? Is it a shoot? And I think the consensus is, I mean, unless MJF is working people, it's a shoot, because everyone believes, you know, behind the scenes from what we're seeing in Fightful, that like there's a lot going on. I don't understand why the promo happened. I'm glad it happened, but like the fact that Tony Khan's giving him I just don't get how he's on TV. WWE would never have that.
This is feeling like a work to me. Like, I get it that it has some basis,
especially with this promo.
Yeah. But also because of like, you guys couldn't report it because you were recording the same day, but the same day that you guys recorded, they put out that whole like, oh, there's been a ticket to the like a jet, like there's a ticket for MJF before to like leave the, you know, to leave, to not go to Double or Nothing and all of
that. That was weird. Like he had his flight booked to Newark, New Jersey. But so here's the thing. There are a couple things that happened that day. One is that MJF just no-showed an autograph signing or appearance. Yes. So that was very real, you know, in terms of not showing.
Yeah, them. That's not cool. Mm-hmm.
No.
Yeah.
And then the flight was there was actually a flight booked. And that's what Fightful has talked about, too. So it's just like, what is going on? I mean, you could book a flight and it could be a work.
You don't think Tony Khan can book a $250 flight and it'd be like nobody be on it? He doesn't care.
I mean, MJF can't though, because apparently he's not getting the money that he that he should be getting in his contract. Because but I don't know.
The way that AEW works so closely with like wrestling journos, I believe everything that Sean Ross Sapp like writes, because he's phenomenal when it comes to like checking his sources and stuff like that, but also
it worked.
You know what I'm saying?
He said that, and he said he wouldn't put it past MJF. So to me, it is to some extent, it's a work. The thing that really has taken a lot of steam out of it for me, though, was the promo after Double or Nothing, because like greatest promo ever, whatever people have said, right? But I'm like, wait. He's on the show with a live mic in his hands and he's working.
Yeah.
So I just don't really.
Yeah. And then they like, they took all his merch down and all of that.
They're doing too much, to be honest.
It really feels like it's like copying the whole Sasha and Naomi thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, depending on how this shakes out, I don't know how this is going to look in the light. You know what I'm saying? Because it depending on how it all works out, it could be like you're trying to make light of a real situation, turning it storyline for your company to, you know. But we'll see.
You know.
Either way, MJF is set. Like, if he stays on AEW or he goes to WWE, he's set.
Here's my question, and like how? So I was like up here. Which I feel like audio-wise, I was up here in terms of how much I cared a couple weeks ago. And then now I'm like here in terms of how much I care. And mm-hmm. so, you know, it's kind of going down a little bit. Do you care? Because I just feel like none of us want to be trolled. And it just feels like a troll. You know, I'll just mention, by the way, do you care? How much do you care?
Like, I feel like I care, but then it's like when it's so out in the open like this, it's like your guard goes up. It's like, I don't know why it's like, I don't know why everybody feels like it's the worst thing to be worked. You know what I'm saying?
No, it's not.
You know what I'm saying? It's great not. To be worked. That's it's what you're amazing. Supposed to, you know, that's the whole point, suspending your disbelief and stuff like that. But when it comes to like, I take stuff like this very seriously. Like we've talked about it, like wrestlers that need to have the freedom to go to where they feel free, where they are not hampered. Like nobody should be forced to stay in a job, you know, especially if that job is not, you know, making strides to make you feel comfortable. So it's a very, like for us, this is a very serious subject. So it feels kind of weird. Like I'm trying to figure if this is storyline, it kind of doesn't gel with me, but I'm I thought it, I think why we were so into it so many weeks ago is because it was still just whispers and back rooms and is he really leaving? And we were like, oh my God, is he leaving?
And we were on the heels of, we were on the heels of Naomi and Sasha too. So it's kind of like a sensitive time.
Exactly.
And I mean, you know, there is a point to which people don't want to be worked. Like there's sometimes a line and it's just not, you know, whatever, it's cool, we'll see how it develops. There's a there's something from Fightful this week about how MJF talent believe that MJF is interested in Hollywood and all of that, so good for him, you know.
See, and even that I was like, oh my God, it's just like one in one.
Yeah.
Like,
that's where I'm just like, okay, we don't need any more stories. Like what we're not getting from Naomi and Sasha right now, there's nothing.
Exactly. And
we're just getting a lot of filler in terms of MJF and where he wants to go.
And I think that's like where the contrast is coming in and why we're like, this is feeling more storyline, because since we'll talk about it later, but since Naomi and Sasha left, it's been, but for here, it's very all out. It's like they want more of the publicity for it. So it's I don't know. It's weird.
Yeah. It is weird.
But AEW's, doing some good things over there. I think, I mean, there's a lot of moving parts because, again, more people keep getting injured. So, and then they're adding another belt. Like, I don't even know the name of the belt, something Atlantic belt. Very interesting.
I saw that too.
And then
also like Adam Cole and Britt Baker are the king and the Owen Hart king and queen, the winners of the men's and women's tournaments. And so who knows how much that'll come into factor, you know, going forward. But they have a lot of titles and a lot of accomplishments that people are holding right now.
Yeah. So maybe next week we'll do a little bit, a deep dive on AEW.
We'll see. we'll see how we feel. No promises.
No promises.
Card subject to change.
So we just wanted to highlight a return. Apollo Crews. They gave him his whole name back. Apollo Crews returned to NXT. Yeah, he returned to NXT, but now NXT 2.0. And he got a really good reception from the crowd. No accent, Matt. How do you feel?
I know
about
what happened. I wanted it.
he dropped the accent.
And he looks so cool with his little leather jacket. And I thought he was wearing jeans. I'm kissing the mic right now. So I thought he was wearing jeans, but there's like so some. Too. He has some.
They're
cool,
like a jegging.
Smooth, yeah. Oh, I love the jegging. It's funny how just like the packaging and the presentation of someone could make all the difference. Like he didn't have his guards or his spear or his like any of that. It was just like Apollo, and he has unfinished business. He said what I think he needed to say in returning and talking about how really he only had a cup of coffee. He barely finished his cup of coffee with NXT. Honestly, he was barely there.
Truly that.
And they took him out too soon. I mean, he even has said, I think a lot of that's a consensus because there's so much that he could have done, especially in hindsight, looking back at his run on the main roster so far.
Yeah.
There, he's had his successes, but
he debuted September 2015 and moved to the main roster in NXT.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then moved to the main roster like April 2016. Like he was barely there and he was over when he was there. So Bron Breakker said he wanted a next opponent. Apollo Crews comes out. Raucous cheers. We also got Carmelo Hayes won the he won back the North American title at In Your House that past weekend, which I mean, goals. Like, thank you. Shouldn't have never left him. And Solo Sokoa came out demanding a rematch. The only reason why I'm mentioning this is because at the end of the night, Carmelo and Grayson Waller were in a handicap match against Solo Sokoa, and Apollo came out to help. So we are establishing that Apollo is a face here. Bron Breakker is still a face. So we'll see where this goes, but I'm so happy for him going back to NXT. And a lot of people are like, oh, this is a downgrade. Like,
who said that?
A lot of, you know, people say that.
Yeah, but yeah,
it's developmental. Go there and help the talent, but also you're still on TV. Like they are on TV, like they are on network television still, no matter what.
Yeah, and it's definitely helping the talent in big ways because you have to also factor in he has the experience. He knows what it's like to be a main roster talent. The thing with Apollo and the thing that I think is really underrated for a lot of these wrestlers on the main roster and also just underrated for, well, yeah, for anyone who's in WWE is just how polished they are with performing to these crowds, to these audiences. Mm-hmm. Apollo has a ton of experience that everyone could learn from.
Yeah.
I actually, in a different way, it's not the same, but Mandy Rose, I would say, is also someone they could learn from and benefit from just from being even around people who have the polish. We see it when they leave WWE, like when they go to AEW, it's like, wow, okay, I could see how good, you know, a Ruby or a Toni Storm or whoever it might be is, but I'm happy that like that Apollo has this spot and hopefully it's not like the Dolph Ziggler cup of coffee. Also, why is he shining up? So he's glistening.
Hopefully you're watching us on YouTube.
Oh, yes. Please watch on
YouTube. By going to YouTube, search Rob Has a Podcast and Wrestling or Hap Up, and we will pop up right there while Matt slowly zooms in.
I'm trying to zoom in, honestly, but
very glistening men here. So go to the YouTube. I'm excited. And I think, I don't know if we've said this, but I think WWE really needs to do more of this, even for the main roster. Like if you have open empty spots and you have all these legends under legend contracts, like where's Melina? Drop in Melina to have a match or two with Bianca. You know what I'm saying? Oh, dang. But you know what I'm saying? Like when you put in Lita versus Becky, like at the Blood Money pay-per-view, like do that. Do more of that.
No, 1000%. And you know what? This is like the type of stuff I love. I feel like this is one of the more creative things that they're doing in the WWE world. Like mix it up. Give us something new. Matches we haven't seen. And then also at the same time, help the talent grow. So I love it. I don't know where it's going, but I love it. And I don't even mind in the NXT case that it's face versus face because at the end of the day, it's developmental and it's just cool to see Bron Breakker develop his mental. I was trying to make a developmental pun.
All right. Well, some other key dates to remember is John Cena is confirmed to be coming back to Raw on June 27th. So John Cena month is steaming ahead. So
he will probably be wearing the exact same outfit he always wears, his little green shirt, his little green and yellow. And good for him for being consistent.
Maybe he'll pick some different colors, though. Like, you know, he tries to come with a different, like, it'll probably be another type of eyesore, like a blue and a red and a purple.
Purple. Yeah, we're on the same page. Hopefully he also has, like, I don't know, hopefully he has his buzz cut and not like the afro that he had that one time he came back.
Trying to hide that bald spot. Cena's coming back. So they've just been showing vignettes of him like going to see kids and stuff, which is great because Cena is like a real life superhero to all these, all his fans and stuff. So
he probably still has like the Make-A-Wish record, which he had for a while.
He does that. This is so random, but on my corporate retreat, we were doing like a quiz game, and it was like super competitive. And one of the questions was who has the most wishes granted record? And I was like, John Cena. I told everybody at my table, it's John, put down John Cena. And they're like, how do you know? I'm like, this is what I do. Put down the answer. Like, I was like, because that's how competitive like I get, you know, when we were like, everything was on the line.
If you're not watching the video, by the way, you're missing out.
That is literally how competitive I got. I was like, if I don't put down John Cena.
And then you were right. And it was like, okay, you have 1 point.
my regional manager was like, oh my God, that's awesome. And she was like, how did you know that? I was like, well, you know, wrestling is my thing. And my coworker who knows that, she was like, yeah. And she was like, everybody listen to Mari.
No, don't listen to Mari. Please don't listen to Mari.
For that question. Yeah, it was
don't
great.
Listen to, I mean, they could listen. Hey, shout out to Mari's coworkers. Yes, John Cena has all of the wishes.
Yep. And that actually helped us because a good portion of the other teams didn't know that. Like, so I was like, yes.
I love the passion for the 1 point.
technically it was like 100. It was like 100 points because it was like one of those, you know, those trivia style where you put it in your phone and they kind of calculate it and they put it on the screen and stuff, like barroom trivia. But it wasn't a bar. We also, Paige announced that her last day with WWE will be July 7th. So, good for her.
Yeah, she deserves to be free. And where has she been is like the problem because we have never actually talked about Paige. Like the most that we've talked about or mentioned Paige is in reference to Adam Page.
Stop it.
Like there's like all the
all
pages.
The other pages except She's, for yeah, exactly Paige. Right. Yeah. So I mean, good for her. Maybe we'll see what happens if she's feeling better enough to continue wrestling, or she's really just been, I think, working on her Twitch stream really.
Yeah.
But again, good for her. Like people making life moves and all of that.
I love how she gave us a date announcing like, oh, it's, you know, it's basically a month. She gave us 1 month notice.
She did. Yeah.
I don't know what to do with that.
I don't know what to do with that. Yes, but that's all the news brought to you by the Daily Smark app for all of your wrestling news featuring AEW, WWE, NXT. Download the Daily Smark app to get all the up-to-date wrestling content. All right, so if you want to reach out to us, please send your long form questions to our email address, wrestling@robhasawebsite.com. You can also follow us on Twitter @WrestlingRehapUp and use #WrestlingRehapUp to join the conversation. Shout out to everybody who's been, the last few weeks have really been like, crazy because of like Double or Nothing and then Hell in a Cell were so close and back to back. So thank you for reaching out to us and asking our opinions on stuff.
All the love.
Exactly. All of the love. We also have our unofficial Facebook group, Job Has a Squadcast. Shout out to everybody in the Job Has a Squadcast group. If you want access to it, reach out to us and we'll get you in there. We'll get you in there.
Yeah. And these last few weeks have been really straight. I mean, almost like the last month, if I'm being honest, because we came back from a break.
Yeah.
And then the next week, I think, was everything with Naomi and Sasha. Yeah. And then you were off, and then I was off, and then we're here. But we will, and, you know, we'll get back to, we like to prompt people to ask questions that we could address in the show. So we will really get back in the flow of doing that next week and onward. But yeah, it's a great place to connect with everyone. Even when we're not asking for questions, people are sharing different wrestling news stories and just talking wrestling with a group of cool people who aren't as scary as the general internet wrestling people. So.
Yes. Hopefully you are subscribed to our podcast feed. You can go to robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed to subscribe wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, iTunes, all that great. Apple and iTunes are the same thing. Apple, Spotify.
Yeah, how dare you? I did not catch that.
Yes.
It's one of these days.
Yes. You can also find us on YouTube. Rob has a podcast on YouTube. Still a great time to join the RHAP Patreon. You can go to www.patreon.com/RHAP where you can get signed up for special exclusives from the Rob Has a Podcast Network. I think they just did the Patron Family Feud. I think Patron Mafia Night is either coming up or just happened. Of course, the great Patron 5 for 5 is always great. So if you sign up to become a patron at Rob at the patreon.com/RHAP, you'll get exclusive access to just a great community. You'll get access to the Discord, or the patron only Facebook group, just so many fun things. So go and sign up and let us know. We be in there sometimes, hanging out.
Yeah. You could even tag us, drag us into the conversations. It's all good. We love that.
Yep. All right. So let's take a quick break and we'll be back with the highlights of the week. Okay. So highlights of the week. Every week we bring you the highlights across WWE, AEW, NXT. This week, and we put them in a little handy dandy little playlist. It's here. Yeah. Like I'm pointing down. It's here.
Literally
it's
there.
It's in the
like go to your click the thing, look at the show notes. There's a lot of stuff there.
There's a lot of good stuff there. Yep. In the show notes and show descriptions and YouTube, you'll find the link to our handy dandy playlist with all of the clips of the week. You'll also find timestamps, time codes, all that good stuff. So check there. We got to start out with, it's been a week since Hell in a Cell. I mean, it was a good show-ish. I really only watched the opening and the closer because WWE they've been pissing me off. So like I said, they will get the absolute minimum amount of attention from me that I can do this podcast.
Yeah, they had stuff on the show, right?
There were things that happened.
Fun, yeah. But the opener and the closer really were it. And that's really what honestly. I think, especially a week out, that's what's worth talking about.
Mm-hmm. Man,
that
women's triple threat, yo. It was so freaking good. I mean, who was shocked? Who surprised? We said that.
Nobody
like,
was shocked.
Like, WWE will give them the absolute worst creative and just throw their wrestlers out there to sink or swim. And so luckily, their wrestlers can swim very well because this triple threat between Bianca, Asuka, and Becky was so good. I was on the edge of my freaking seat.
I was nervous and I was wondering because Bianca had her shorts on maybe the first time ever. I don't know if she's ever worn those before. Yeah, I guess it's been a minute at least. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I'm thinking, is this going to be like Ric Flair used to have a thing that was like anytime that Flair's wearing like
red trunks,
it was always, which is funny because I always associate him with the red trunks. But yeah, anytime Flair's wearing red trunks, he's losing. And I thought maybe anytime that Bianca's wearing the shorts, maybe she's losing. This match, though, really gave me a little bit of a heart attack just because there's the there's what happens in the match, what's planned, but like there are so many falls that they went for, and
so many.
All it takes is one more second where like Asuka doesn't break up the pin, or you know, Bianca doesn't kick out. And look, I'm happy about one of Chappelle's baby mamas, Bianca.
I mean, every time Bianca was out of the ring and Becky and Asuka were like duking it out, and they would go for the pinfalls, I'm like, get back in there, Bianca.
Especially would go for the pinfall, because that's where I really thought, is this about to happen? Are we going to get this?
Asuka got Becky into that really good Asuka lock, and I was like, Jesus.
It was like, look, there was, and that's the thing. They went back to a few different things, a couple. So for instance, if you see Asuka go for the Asuka lock and then doesn't get it, and then maybe goes for it and doesn't get it, and then goes for it and gets it, it's like, ooh, is this it? Is Asuka going to take it? And I wouldn't be mad if Asuka I would just be really disappointed and sad and broken
that Bianca lost.
It was
really good. They told a really great story, and every time Bianca, the reason why Bianca spent so much time outside the ring basically is because every time she would get any good offense in, like especially on Asuka, Becky would throw her out, or somebody would toss her out so that they could steal the pin. And so that was such good in-ring psychology too, because she kept trying to do it the right way and would get thrown out. So when at the finale, when Becky hits the manhandle slam, I mean, technically, first Bianca hit the like buckle bomb to Asuka, straight face to the turnbuckle. Becky comes in, throws Bianca out. That I was like, throws Bianca out, hits the manhandle slam. When I tell you, my heart like stopped. I was like, oh my God.
She just got thrown out. Bianca just got thrown out.
Yeah, Bianca had just got thrown out, and she's so quick with it because it gave Becky enough time to hit the manhandle slam to try and cover Asuka. Bianca jumps back in, throws Becky out, covers Asuka. 1, 2, 3. And I felt bad because I always feel bad when Asuka takes the pin, but it did make sense because she was double teamed, you know, and then took the pin. So but it was such a good match. That's why we're talking about it by move by move. It was really
speaking of, though, this match made everyone look good. Like, one of my favorite spots, which I'm surprised that it happened, was this. And again, check us out on YouTube for photos. Yes. This double ankle lock. And I'm like, who? Rhonda, who? Like, what? Okay, we're just doing that, and nobody, I mean, I don't mind, but you know, Asuka's been doing the ankle lock since before Ronda, you know, even probably thought about wrestling. Mm-hmm. But I love that, and there were lots of moments for Asuka to shine. And I mean, I don't know. I think focusing your energy in on one person for the ankle lock is more effective. But anyway, this was a lovely match, and just the energy that they had in there was just
the spectacular. Crowd was into it.
This is awesome. This whole time,
this is awesome chance. Mm-hmm. And Bianca is over. Like, I'm sorry. Like, she came out. Pops, like people trying to deny that she is still getting consistent pops, even as a babyface champion who is like not talking as much as I think she should, or doesn't have like a legit storyline. Like, I know one of our main complaints going into this is it felt like Bianca was dropped into Becky and Asuka's storyline, but honestly, the good thing is it doesn't seem to be affecting her in a negative way, because she's still getting really good crowd reactions. Becky's actually like getting, it seems like she's getting more boos now, which is always great. And I think Asuka is, they're all getting good reactions. I mean, honestly, so the storyline hasn't hurt anybody yet. Now I can't remember if it was Rob or Chappelle said it, but now the biggest thing is what happens next, you know?
Yeah. And you know what? I do think I will say with Bianca and actually with Becky, it is weird how they've had them in these supervisor roles at ringside as you and Ron and Chappelle were talking about. That is always like funny to me, but you know, and they did it at Raw again this past week in terms of her outside of the ring, like, you know, watching, giving the luckily she gives good face.
Was it the Becky Dana joint?
It was no, it was the four way.
Oh, the four way. Yeah.
Yeah. And she was what?
I
oh my gosh, like, Bianca.
I do I like that Bianca's not even on the headsets because honestly, Becky is really good at that.
I do think it is goofy that they talk about her. They're talking about Bianca like from 3 feet away from her.
Yeah.
They're like, what is, I don't even know what they're talking about, but it is like, funny like to
the
me.
The champion is studying who's going to be next. And Bianca did give just good facial reactions, just waiting. So I
like but the way that she got kicked in the face before Hell in a Cell by Asuka. I mean, if I'm Bianca, I'm just going to stand, you know what they, I miss people standing backstage looking at the monitor with their
no, Natalya and Vince did sideways.
It is great though. And honestly, look, shout out to Natalya, an icon in every way, a trailblazer.
So I guess the other match we gotta talk about, Matt.
Yes, and I have to say Dominik Cesternino's favorite match, the match of the night. So what a great one. Yes. How did I feel about Cody and
Cody
Seth?
Cody versus Seth, yes.
Oh, Mari. I actually was watching this, like I watched it like actually a couple days after. I knew what happened, but I watched it a couple days after. I didn't watch it live, and why was I watching this like almost tearing up watching Cody wrestle?
Yeah,
like, this man is what is he
insane?
Yeah, what is he thinking? I can't even wrap my head around it. Yeah. Still, actually, it's kind of mind blowing.
So, like I said, I watched the women's and this live. Everything else kind of caught clips of, but because you know the internet was like they're going first. Turn it on when they went first, you know. What about my night? Is like Cody versus Seth is up. Yep, I'm coming. But it had broke. The news had broke earlier in that day that he had torn the pectoral muscle, and we were like, but he was still going to compete. And I was like, what? Like it was so like. Yeah. I was like, okay. So like a million things run through your mind when you hear that, and I'm just thinking like, okay, maybe they'll get in there. Boom, 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 throw through jabs, done. Like, I truly wouldn't have begrudged them if they just hit a few moves, hit, you know, not even anything crazy. And then just, I thought Seth was going to pin him, you know?
Yeah.
And then, like, Seth comes out dressed as Dusty, which... Troll level 9,000. The troll level is over 9,000.
Get out.
And just the audible like gasp, but like, well, no, just the audible reaction from the crowd when they saw Seth's outfit was so funny. Like, I'm like, dang, Seth is such a troll. Like, he is such a troll. And I love when people do that. Like, it, you know, shades of when he did it with Roman, and you know, you go back and back. This character is so great for that. And it's, you know, I'm always a fan. I've always been a fan of, you know, Rick Rude and stuff like that. And this is giving me that type. And so I love customizing your ring gear to mess with your opponent. That's like so amazing. So Seth comes out first and it's like, wow, Seth, you're a dick. Then Cody comes out with his great entrance, his jacket on. It's like everybody, they're talking about how bruised up and banged up he is, and you're like, and he's like a little stiff, and you're just like, okay, Cody, what's gonna happen? And then can you bring that picture back up?
And he takes off his freaking jacket.
When he takes that jacket off, everybody, the crowd just like everybody, me at home, like none of us were expecting that. And that
even now staring at it.
I know.
Even now.
Like so visually just gripping, and I was like, no, Cody, because if you're looking at us on YouTube, Cody takes his jacket off and his whole, it's his right pectoral is what was torn off the bone. So his whole armpit area, his arm, his half of his chest, it's all the darkest purple, like bruise I feel like I've ever seen in my entire
life.
That's
nasty. It's nasty.
So and nasty.
It looks insane and it looks nasty, but then you're thinking, oh, he's wrestling, like it's okay. He's wrestling a match, so it looks really bad. Like obviously this isn't gimmicked. They did not put makeup on his chest to make it look, there's no way they could have really done that in the but anyway, they didn't do that. And then you think about how it happened, and apparently it was a weightlifting injury.
Yeah.
And so that indicates, at least to me, can't really lift things with that arm, with that side of his body, which kind of makes wrestling a match that much more difficult. Yeah. Like any, and this match, like, I mean, Mari, the other thing I would just point out that's like so insane about this is, number one, I've loved Cody Rhodes since his return. I love his suits. I feel like a lot of Black people on Twitter have a lot of great comments about his suits and them being from the civil rights era, which like maybe they were, maybe they aren't.
Because he ended racism.
Yeah, he did. Very true to his Atlanta roots, home of MLK. But, you know, I will say, I was tearing up watching this and just like the realness of it all is there. But then thinking to yourself, he's not doing himself any favors. He's just like hurting himself more in the process of doing this match. And it's insane that he did it because he didn't have, I mean, he really didn't have to do
it. He did not have to. Yeah. He did not have to. I'm trying to find the match length, like the match time on it.
It was about 30 minutes.
Yeah. That's what So like we all knew about the injury, but the moment that jacket came off, that's when it became real. And that was a moment like I've heard a lot of people say, like I saw a lot of people say online, like it's weird. I can look at blood pouring out of people's faces. I can look at all of this, but something about this bruise is making me feel nauseous. Like that's what people were saying online. Like they feel like the body horror of the bruise was almost worse than the regular gore of the blood, which I thought was very interesting. I thought it was just a focal point, and it was like it made the match like the stakes higher, and then I was stunned. I was like, okay, and it started off how you thought it would go, like
just the one, the punches with his one arm and kind of avoiding it.
Hitting the Cody cutter on the injured arm going for the crossroads. And you're like, okay, so that's what they're going to do. They're going to just hit the highlights and we're going to be out of here. Nope. Yeah. You know, I think Seth hit something on him too. I can't remember what it was. He kicked out. I was like, why are you kicking it out? Don't kick it out.
Just lay down. Lay down. I know we should. First of all, I'm never gonna get over how red. I don't like the red cell. It's just like it's just an eyesore to me. But like, you know, if it were me, if I were in that crowd, I would have had a white towel and I would have thrown it in. If not for this cell, because that's not right. It just wasn't right.
As the match went on, Seth started targeting the area, and every time he did anything to that area, I was like, look at, I was like, how is it? I was trying to figure out, like, okay, he put a kendo stick to it. I was like, I was trying to just kind of like see if he was actually pressing. It truly really upped the stakes, and it's so bad, like, as wrestling fans were like, yes, you know, but it was like Cody did such a great job. And I don't think it, I don't know if it's smart, you know, I don't know if this is smart. As a medical professional, I would not suggest.
Yeah, medical. Shout out to the medical professionals on the podcast. I'm just Mari.
I thought it was funny how people were like, I mean, he said like it was torn from the muscle. There's nothing else that can happen. Might as well go out there. I was like, I don't know. How many perks was he on? Like, Cody's a madman.
I don't know.
Wrestlers should not have to do this to their bodies.
Oh, no, they shouldn't. And it's like, okay, my arms are just hurting right now as we talk about this. It's kind of insane. And oh gosh. And like we could, I'm just like flipping through pictures of this too. And it's not right. It's not right. It's not right. He didn't have to do any of it. And then there are even spots like, okay, Cody needs to, he's on the table. Seth is about to dive onto him. Okay, Cody dives off the table. So he's not able to catch himself with his right arm as he does it. Mm-hmm. So he goes down on his left arm. Like everything he does, he cannot. Oh, and cannot the nasty thing it. About it is that as the match goes along, it, and it like it went from just being a nasty purple to being like a pink and purple and like just this is not right. It's not right.
The bruise just grew and grew. It went towards the chest, down the arm. All that is like that's the like the blood, like the muscle from the blood just trapped under his skin, just moving around. So it's just like
that's just the blood under his skin.
Yeah, it's like that's an internal internal hematoma under there, that bruise, and it's just like
I'm glad he didn't blade his. I'm glad he didn't blade his internal hematoma.
Yeah. So
gosh, I just have to pull this one up too. What the heck? Like he is insane.
So as the match progressed, that got really dark, didn't it? Yeah, you see how it kind of moved from the arm to the rest,
and
of the
it really,
So as the match went on, I know we got to like talk about it.
Yeah, we have to talk about it
because the podcast listeners can't see.
No, but they could hear our reactions and they could feel it. Yeah, and you've described grunting. It the internal hematoma. Duh, Marty, everyone knows what that look. I don't know.
It's just a bruise. It's just a fancy word for a bruise.
Yeah, but it's a nasty bruise. And
so, as the match goes along, Seth continuously tries to target the area. Like Cody is basically taking bumps like unprotected, because like you said, he could not protect with anything really.
No.
At one point I was really like, how is this match still going? Like 10 minutes in, how is this match still going? Like how is this going to be a full match? And so then Cody brings out the bull rope, which is famous in the Rhodes family.
Exactly.
And I was like, what? He puts it on his good arm, tosses the other side to Seth.
I didn't get the logic of that fully.
Right. Well, the announcers were trying to say like, oh, it evens the playing field because it kind of like takes away one of Seth's arms. But I'm like, but then you're take away
because then Cody's, you have the other arm that you can't use.
But then I guess it also is leverage though, because now even with the good arm, he can leverage a little bit.
I mean, I think more than anything in the commentary kind of hinted at it, as you just mentioned, that there's the family legacy. So regardless of if the arms hurt, you know, that's like Cody's. I mean, I was going to say the bull rope is kind of like Cody's sledgehammer, except the sledgehammer is also a thing that he's used. But it's like his weapon and his go-to.
His signature weapon. Yeah, exactly.
It makes sense. And, kind of.
You know, they did that for a while, and then Seth like forget it and just kind of use the rope against him. And then it was just the tables, everything just amped up. It just kept amping up. The crowd reactions were a little weird towards the middle of it.
There was some chanting like for Seth.
Seth was the one grabbing the tables. So they're like, thank you, Seth, for like grabbing the tables. I'm like, really, y'all like
this? Do you? I will it was say really weird for a second there. Yeah, this is all this whole situation, though. The whole situation, Chicago will do what Chicago wants. The Windy City, they're all over the place. And, you know, I think that the other piece of this, too, is that with hindsight, we know more of how serious it is. So, like, yes, we could see how bad it looked. We could see that it was a torn pec. We heard it was a torn pec, and then we know that he just had surgery. Which, you know, maybe people were of the mind like he's in a match, so it must not be that bad. Mm-hmm. And you know, I think there would have been more of a freaked out reaction if everyone really, really realized how bad it was, because we don't see people wrestle, as commentary really put over. We don't see people wrestling in that state at all, with this just level of pain and damage to their body so visible too.
So I mean, maybe I'm just down on wrestling fans, but it's just like, I think everybody knew how bad it was and still just wanted the entertainment, to be quite honest. Because I mean, I agree, because I didn't realize how serious it was until he took that jacket off. Once he took that jacket off, I was like, oh, this is not good. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, this, you know, I don't know.
That's dark.
It's dark.
Like the it's like probably life in the Colosseum, where it's like human versus lion or whatever they did back in the ancient times.
It's so, the same thing of wanting that blood, of wanting that. The only difference is, like, we know it's not a faked injury. You know, blading and bloodletting is, we know, it's mostly fake. It's mostly done. It's not done hard way. But people love that, and this just like kind of upped it, and I just. No, it was clearly his, like they said, it was his decision. Like, that, it was his decision. So if anybody is the madman, it is Cody.
Like, I mean, to be fair, I mean, he did it. He did the match. It was rough. And, you know, maybe he knew, look, I'm going to have surgery on it one way or the other.
Yeah.
I'm good enough to make
it. He's going to be out. Yeah. For a while.
Seth and Cody are both insanely experienced. I don't think that this was irresponsible decision to let him compete.
I agree.
And, you know, it's just like, it was what it was. They did the match as safely as possible. And I think from the perspective even of just his legacy, and then the fact that he hit the pedigree on Seth, which obviously referenced to Seth, but also to Triple H. And just a lot of that. Mm-hmm. It was, if I'm Cody, I probably would do this again, all over again, just because it's like it's a good note to leave off on.
Cemented. This is something that it will be. It's like, it's, you know, it's kind of, it sounds hyperbolic, but this is very history like making. This is something that they might reference in Hell in a Cell packages for the next like years to come.
They 100% will. And you could tell, one thing that I appreciate about commentary is it gives you a window into how Vince McMahon feels about things, because they, throughout the course of this match, which I believe I just read was 24 minutes, 21 seconds bell to bell, was, they were just putting over how hard he was working, how gutsy the performance was, how much he put in, how this was like nothing they'd ever seen. Mm-hmm. So you're putting Cody up on a level that is icon with this. And so it is rough anytime anyone has an injury and then, you know, we don't know what will happen. I always think of Finn Balor and his injury with the Universal Championship, but like this was very different. The presentation of it was different. I'm assuming they had an idea that Cody would be out for a while after this. And so, you know, one thing that I was looking at in relation to this was just like other, basically, actually, I was looking at Fightful, shout out to Fightful, and to a friend in my head, Sean Ross Sapp. So we know that Cody tore his pec muscle, but like just some other notable pec injuries in wrestling. Triple H, he was out 5 months. Elias also had 5 months. Takahashi was out 6 months. Cena, I believe this was the infamous return.
Yeah,
I was in there. I was at Madison Square Garden for that one, and he was out less than 4 months. And so anything could happen with this. I'm hoping, though, that it's not, you know, hopefully it's not that bad.
He said something about Money in the Bank, right? Like,
he was talking about Money in the Bank on Monday Night Raw.
On Monday night,
But then, you know, and then Seth
came out and attacked him again.
So
Cody exited on his own 2 feet. So that's where we leave off. Yeah. So, I mean, great match, great follow up, because he's going to be out. And I think, like you said, everybody knew he was going to be out for a few months. And I think Cody wanted to go out like with a bang. So once he comes back, like you cannot tell me we are not going to see him in the Royal Rumble in January. possibly winning it. I mean, this might be the catalyst for him coming back and winning the Rumble.
Honestly, that's great. I don't think he has to be out that long, but he might be out that long. But, you know, it's hard to tell, especially because he didn't just hurt his pec and then, you know, take off. He hurt his pec and then had a 24-minute match and also continued to work a little bit, you know, took a, I guess you could call it a bump on Monday. And I hope that none of that damaged him more to make it worse.
I hope not either,
But also, I mean, coming back at the Rumble is always a great time to come back. And
I think for him, it would be great. Now, can WWE afford to not have him feature for 6 months? I don't know. Maybe they have him. Maybe he comes back, does like commentary or, you know, kind of do what they did with Britt Baker. Like, I mean, just something where he's like ringside or doing promos or something like that. Like where he's injured, he can't wrestle, but he's still like there or something like that. So we never know. No, we'll see.
No, but I want him to keep wrestling. Just do what he did. Do what he did on Sunday last week. Just like,
don't stop that. Stop it.
He could enter money in the not to that extent, Mari, but you know what, who knows, maybe he will show up at Money in the Bank and climb that little ladder with his little arm nice and close
all
to
right
him.
Well, and shout out to Cody contract. And Seth for a match of the night.
Wait, Mari, if something happens where we see Cody at Money in the Bank, that will be insane. It could happen.
Why would you want, but Money in the Bank is literally in 3 weeks. It's in 3 weeks. What? 2.5, really. Why would I want, let Cody that Rhodes man could, rest.
I don't want
let
it. That I want man him to rest. I want him to rest. I want him to rest. Who do you think he was going to win Money in the Bank, though?
I think there was a good chance he was going to win it. Yeah.
I wonder what's going to happen instead, but I think it'll be pretty, we probably will see, I think we'll see some shifts happen. He was probably already on the poster. He was definitely in the promo of about main eventing WrestleMania. So it is interesting.
I could definitely see, because I think it'll be easier to give him Money in the Bank than to give him Royal Rumble, because, you know, Vince, you know, Royal Rumble is the big thing, and Cody's big, but does Vince want an AEW guy walking in and getting the Rumble so quickly, you know? But giving him Money in the Bank is easy.
Well, I was gonna say, and Cody is very much like AEW. I feel like for Cody was sort of like a blip on the radar,
right?
It was a big one, but at the same time, I mean, especially when you lean into the legacy and everything with Dusty, like AEW, at least for me, I feel like Cody is very much like Cody. He has WWE in his blood.
He was very upfront about how his goal was to leave WWE, prove that he is a main event talent, and to come back. I mean, he was very upfront about that, like especially his initial first years away. So I'm not throwing him in the AEW bucket, but you have to acknowledge that he is the first star to come back over from AEW, you know.
And no one's ever going to be in that position. No one's ever going to be in the position that he is. His father is still to this day, from before he left to now, has been referenced on WWE TV. The legacy is just different. I don't think that we're going to see anyone come over from AEW in a position like the one that Cody's in, in the future. And, you know, we'll see what they do with this, but it says a lot about Cody. And, you know, like to your point, maybe they will be able to bring him back onto TV a couple months earlier and even on promos and, you know, build up to a match so that it's like he's back, but he's not wrestling as he finishes healing up. Who knows how they'll do it, but I miss Cody already. And a year ago, we would not have been that we were having very different conversations about Cody and certain promos that he laid out, which were a mess a year ago. So,
all right,
any recovery to him, right?
So we also got a Judgment Day. Their match at Hell in a Cell was pretty good. You know, I think a lot of people were distracted in their match.
What was the distraction?
What was the?
You want to talk about it, Mari?
It was some cakes. Cakes were the distraction.
Do you want to elaborate?
Ray or Ripley? I don't know if Ray or Ripley and Bianca they're like, hey guys, we're gonna break the internet by like wearing shorts instead of our normal like. Is it trunks or pants? Whatever. They wore shorts. Rhea wore shorts. And
apparently, by the way, just as a note on what Rhea was wearing, apparently she like ordered her gear and then it didn't come on time.
Oh, well.
I mean, I don't know if that has anything to do with the shorts, but I'm looking for those shorts.
Those things was thinging. And so everybody was like watching that instead of the match. She looked good. Not gonna lie. And so, all that aside, they beat. Are you looking at the picture?
I'm like looking for the right picture that's not like just her, like in the corner. We'll work on it.
Keep looking.
But by the way, I will say, Rhea. There have been a few stories of her either losing her gear not coming in time. Yes. Like she lost her luggage once, and then I think she had to wear a couple months
she
ago.
Had to wear
actually,
Priest
Damian
pants.
Priest, mm-hmm. Yeah,
because they're good friends.
Insane.
Yeah, Rhea, who's your seamstress? Like, I need you to hook up with where's all of the known. Seamstresses.
Well, I was going to say seamstresses.
Yeah.
I was going to say Sandra, who used to be
Sandra.
On Total Divas.
Mm-hmm. Where is Redheaded
she?
Stitch. Yeah. Yeah. Lots of good.
This is okay. We don't know if these pictures of Rhea in the match, Mari. We can't
come
do this
on
to her.
I mean, if they're on the WWE,
it was a good
photos.
Spot, though. She did a good wrestling. She did a good wrestling over the course.
Is there a picture of her sacrificing for Edge?
She did.
Let me see it.
I love how you already know. You already knew.
Because
what's
this
wrong
was
with
a,
you, Mari?
This was a pivotal moment in the match. Finn Balor was about to deliver his coup de grace to Edge, and Rhea stepped in. Pivotal moment.
She did, and good for her. Look, what happened on the internet though? Was Twitter broken? Was she trying?
Oh,
she was. Did she comment on it on her Twitter?
She did. Yes, even
okay.
Even Rhea saw Twitter. Y'all thirst traps. She saw them. She saw all of it.
Leave Rhea alone.
She saw it.
She just wants to be treated like a consummate professional.
And so then on Raw, after beating Finn Balor, AJ Styles, and Liv Morgan, Judgment Day announced on Raw that they were having a new member. And I love the way they did this because they had the countdown clock. The new member premiered at like 10 o'clock. Ugh, so they had an hour countdown. I love a good countdown. So I know exactly when
I
to
love
come
a
back.
Good countdown.
So I can turn and come back. I love a good countdown. And
I love
when
a good countdown too. So we're so basic.
So when they came out, they came out, the cool entrance. Edge talked a little bit, and then the new member was announced as Finn Balor, which was like, okay, great, all right. I was, half of me was hoping for Liv Morgan, like I said, but it's cool. Sure, it's Finn. All right.
After
Finn comes out, Priest, Rhea, and Finn jump Edge and kick Edge out of Judgment Day, which I didn't like in the moment. I really didn't like it. I thought there was so much more they could like. I feel like Judgment Day just got here. Why are we?
Honestly, I would like to see Edge crawling back, you know, like as the little old man he is, just being beaten up by them. I don't like to see old people attacked like that. We've talked about this in reference to AEW and Tully Blanchard. And similarly, I do not like to see Edge in his older years being beaten up by these young people. It's just disrespectful. Yeah. Respect your elders.
The funny thing is, though, too, when they said that there's going to be a new member, I was like, four people? That's kind of, you know, I like the three. Right. I was like, I like the three sometimes. But like, I mean, you know, you got to do different staging. But anyways, when they kicked, they kicked Edge out. And I thought, I mean, I really initially did not like it. But
did you like the way that they stuck that Finn Balor put a stick in his mouth?
The chair leg. Did everything to Edge that Edge does to people. You know, he the crossface with the chair leg. The concerto. Oh my gosh. So some people are speculating they turn Edge heel because of, like, you know, they panic because they're losing a lot of they turn him face because they're panicking because they're, you know, Cody's gone. There's no Roman. Like, there's not many faces. But I think what would piss me off even more after this is if Edge came back the next week. Like, I think this was a beatdown to write Edge off. Like, we were talking about how Edge is at least for a few months or something like that, or like depending on if he's coming back with his contract and all that. But like, we talked about how Edge came back. He's done basically everything he wanted to do. He had a great babyface run against Seth. He now found his footing in this heel run with the Judgment Day. He's helped the talent come up. So him going away and taking a break right now, I think would be great for him. Now, again, is it great for WWE? Because they are lacking a lot of people, compelling storylines, all of that. But I think I would be really mad if Edge comes back the next week and he's good guy Edge again. Like, I don't like that. I think we get at least a week off and have Finn establish himself and as a new leader.
I would be shocked if he wasn't off next week. And you know what they've been talking about in terms of what motivated this. Of course, Cody being out is a factor, but there was talk of adding a member to Judgment Day for a while. So it's not surprising that Finn Balor is in Judgment Day. But, you know, also apparently WWE wanted to take the group in more of a supernatural direction is what the reliable Fightful sources talk about. And, you know, Edge was against that idea of them being more supernatural. I don't know how true.
Oh, really?
You know, like, we share news stories from relatively reliable sources, but it should be interesting to see if we do get more supernatural elements, because obviously there's the demon. Finn Balor, so he already has that. We'll see what happens with Priest and with Rhea. But I mean, look, I could see, look, Edge was the first ever Mr. Money in the Bank. And could he be the next Mr. Money in the Bank? Maybe. I would like that story. It's an interesting one. Him, like, he won it in 2005 at I think it was WrestleMania in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. WrestleMania 21. And, you know, to see him come back and do it again 17 years later, it's kind of insane. That could be a good story.
And it is weird, though, that Hollywood again.
Oh, well, so maybe they're like kind of going back to the well of him being Mr. Money in the Bank, because if Cody was lined up to be Mr. Money in the Bank, well, I do think Edge is a good secondary option for that role. It's weird to think of him as champion nowadays, but I don't mind him having the briefcase again. It's kind of cool. Yeah. How it is weird, though, that he suddenly becomes not evil and not creepy.
That's what I'm saying. That'd be a little weird. So I don't know. But we'll see. We'll keep an eye on this. I've been really liking the Judgment Day storyline. So we'll see where it goes with Finn I don't even know if it's ahead now. I think they're trying to say I think they're saying their group might be more like groupie now that
you think they have more groupie.
More groupie instead of like leader and minions. It's now a group.
Yeah. Yeah. It would be, I wish they would have done more with this storyline, though. They could have really, like, they could have had the group kind of like what they did with Daniel Bryan and the Wyatt family. They could have done something similar where, you know, with Daniel Bryan, he was the reluctant slash potentially, you know, not hypnotized, but potentially brainwashed member of the Wyatt family for a little bit. Mm-hmm. And then he was able to kind of turn on them. It would have been nice to see more of like the Finn dynamic on their side. It is weird, though, that we won't even go there, but it is weird that he joined their team after just being beaten by them the night before. But
yeah,
what could you do?
What can you do? Yeah. So let's just take a quick break before we finish this up. Okay. So, and piggybacking off the whole Judgment Day turn, we got a fatal four-way match to decide who Bianca will face at Money in the Bank. And so it was between Alexa Bliss, Liv Morgan, Rhea Ripley, and Doudrop. So which was interesting. It was interesting. I immediately thought, okay, maybe they go with Alexa Bliss here. But no, I was hoping, we were talking about it last week, but I was hoping they would save Rhea Ripley for Rhea versus Bianca for SummerSlam. But they are not, which sucks because I am very much looking forward to this match here. This right here, I am looking forward to this. I've been talking about how Rhea and Bianca need to go at it again. Yep, they have so much history. Rhea's new alignment of being an ultra heel versus Bianca's superhero babyface is going to be good. I think all that stuff that Rhea and Liv storyline versus the Judgment Day type storyline that they've been doing, I feel like that's a test run. And I think Bianca is going to run into this Judgment Day style booking where she has to deal with both Rhea and Judgment Day, which could mean, depending on where the Street Profits go, maybe we get the Street Profits teaming up with Bianca. So I'm excited. I said all that to say, I am excited for this feud. Just giving it a Money in the Bank, like this better be the whole summer feud then.
It is kind of interesting, like timing of this feud, because I wouldn't have booked this now, but mm-hmm. I mean, really, what could you do? Where's Bailey is like the big question, but she's kind of just been floating around. I really thought that she'd return at Hell in a Cell just to have some symmetry between her, you know, she last appeared at Hell in a Cell last year. Mm-hmm. She'd come back. I don't really know what to think. And I don't know if we're going to get like Becky and Bianca at SummerSlam again, if that's what they're trying to do, if this is just kind of an interim feud. But let's see. This is kind of like where I just kind of want to say wait and see. Like, I want to be patient with this because I do like Rhea more than I've liked her a lot in the last year. Mm-hmm. And she has more layers to her. She has really a defined character. She's this, you know, this aggressive heel at this point with a gimmick. And it seems like they want to go somewhere with her. It would have been interesting to see Edge in the background of this, just with his legacy and all, but what could you do? We're getting the two different sides of things. We're getting the Judgment Day story continuing on, maybe still including Liv and AJ, who knows. But then we also have this other thing that's happening with Bianca and the belt. Not with the belt. As Miz would say, it's not a belt. Belt's full of your pants. The title. So I don't know what to make of this, but it's going to be a great match, and they do have that history together,
have a lot of good history and a lot of good chemistry together.
But also they haven't really touched in this incarnation of of either of them. So that's great.
Exactly. They haven't touched since both of them have won their belt. Well, when Rhea won the belt the first time, and then when Rhea won her belt and Bianca won her first belt. I'm very, very excited for this. But the thing is, Alexa, they're going to want to put Alexa somewhere. You know what I'm saying? Like, they want to put her somewhere. So I don't know where that figures into all of this.
I think I know where Alexa's going next. Where?
Not Money in the Bank.
Tag team with Liv. And Liv, like little, they look like a tag team in this match. And they even did they actually did a ton of tag team moves together in this match. Like there's the, if you're looking at the YouTube, first of all, here's Rhea. picked up on a Monday and holding Alexa. There's like the dropkick spot that's like knocking over Rhea. So it's like a double team. They did a double team power bomb. They had a lot, like a bunch of double team moves. I feel like someone said to them, "You two are going to be a tag team. Dress like one another." So they're both wearing the black leather. And, you know, they both have their edgy Avril Lavigne 2022 hair. And, you know,
That had been a gnarly bump for Liv there. I just don't look. Was she so high? Oh, my gosh.
I mean, that's wrestling. But at the same time, like if these two don't team together, I will be shocked because I feel like they were hitting us over the head a little bit with that in this match.
That's a great plus,
they point, don't seem to have any other direction for Alexa, unfortunately.
yeah. And I mean, Alexa and Liv are fan favorites. Like they truly are, like they get the good
pop. They really messed up Alexa. They really messed her up. They just dropped
I have no idea what is happening with her gimmick. It's honestly just Alexa right now and like weird mishmash music. So
yeah, I'm a little confused by it.
Anyways, let's just move on to SmackDown real quick.
Let's do it.
We had two Money in the Bank qualifying matches, which our good old friend Lacey Evans is finally back. She's here in the ring. She had her qualifying match against Xia Li, and this, like, WWE, y'all are just like, what is happening? Like, Xia Li going into this match, if you would have asked me who's the face, who's the heel, I would have told you Xia Li is the face. You've been telling me Lacey Evans is designated a heel, but going into the match, they have Xia Li saying like, "Oh, Lacey Evans is a whiner. She needs to get over it." I'm like, that's not what you say to people who have obviously just gone to therapy and poured their whole heart out. Like, you don't say that. And then
cancel Xia Li.
Right. And then so then you get in there and Lacey Evans versus Xia Li. It's very like the crowd was behind Lacey Evans. It was really hard to hear, but the commentary said it was the crowd. Yeah. I couldn't hear who, like what name they were chanting, but commentary said they were chanting Lacey. So sure. So Lacey is the face here, even though she's been on your heel side of your roster for the past few weeks. And your presentation is weird because I think she is presented as a face, and yet you had her designated as heel. But anyways,
I'll say, adding to that, it is interesting because I don't remember where they were for this show, but they were somewhere down south, and you know, you could see all these, you know, it's just like interesting because she has like this, I don't know, there's something off about Lace. There's always been something off for me about Lacey's packaging that kind of is like slightly triggering, and I don't know if it's the red, white, and blue tassels. I'm not going to call them Confederate tassels, but
they were in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
Yes, and then she has like the camo on, and it is so interesting because like she did in the promos, in the lead up, in the story of Lacey Evans, I feel like she always referenced being a Marine, but didn't really talk that much about it. I was thinking about that when I was watching. Like, she was talking about a lot of the trauma as opposed to like the experience, her experiences in Marine life. Service. Yeah, whatever that's called.
I got you. Yeah. And they were beating us over the head with it on commentary that she was a Marine. But it sucks because Xia Li had really good, she's getting really good reactions when she first debuted a few months back and all that. Yeah. But
she hasn't really been used, unfortunately. Yep, they've
truly, and she's kind so of messed her up. Yeah.
Like, why did they call her up? I mean, I get why they might call, you know, you need people who could be your jobbers on the roster, but they, before debuting her, which I swear they debuted her on the main roster in like July last year. it's been about a year.
She just hasn't really been around.
It was around the time that Shotzi and Tegan were brought up, and they really seemed to put some energy into it. They had those really cool promo packages. I don't remember exactly what they were for Zaya, but damn, look at, I mean, they could have done so, there could be so much more with her.
Exactly. So Lacey wins. Lacey goes on to qualify for the Money in the Bank. And then we also got Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre, which ended up being a good match. Like, but they both got double disqualified, like counted out just because they wanted to beat on each other again. I'm like, oh, wow. Y'all just kind of remembered your old feud. It was a great match. It was good. They were just like hitting each other's moves on each other. It was like some big, like meaty men type stuff.
But they keep going back to this. Well, and it's not the most exciting, but like the thing is, they always deliver in terms of the action. It's just not the most compelling. Like, we've seen it. It does feel a little different though with Butch in the mix, you know, it's just switching it up a little, getting thrown around, but also I feel like it's a little disrespectful to him too. Pete Dunne could wrestle. Pete Dunne could fight. So we are seeing him kind of like this dog getting
let me out.
Yeah, exactly. So it is what it is. But I don't know. Is there anything notable about that match, that feud?
They both went to Adam Pearce saying, like, because they didn't win, they both wanted to be put in the match. And I don't know if he said, you can both be in the match or not, like the Money in the Bank match. So I guess the biggest scam
I've ever seen. Like, oh, yeah, we just both decided to fight each other outside the ring and not respect the rules. So please put us in, coach. I would play that card all the time if that works. Man.
Yeah, so I guess we'll see. It feels like it's going to like be like next week they're going to like decide like how that goes or whatever. But I thought it was very interesting that like Xavier Woods tweeted out that they had been feuding with Fight Night, aka Sheamus, Butch, and all them for like, I think he said, what was it, 24 weeks or something like that? It was something outrageous.
Specific. Oh, well, that too.
Yeah.
And so that's also in the background, the whole New Day.
Yeah. And like, they weren't on, I don't think they were on SmackDown.
It sucks to think about all the injuries that I'm just thinking of Big E and him not being there to even the odds with that angle. And, you know, and then of course, and it's interesting because they did just have the match where it's like, we're going to have a mystery partner. And of course, you know, in the Big E spot with that Fight Night feud was Drew. And so maybe they're pivoting to a Drew Sheamus story, but yeah, it is always sad how up and down WWE is with New Day.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, okay. Sorry. He said yesterday counted the 14th week that we have fought Sheamus, Ridge, and Butch. That's more than a quarter of this year. Once we are rid of them, we can focus on Ricochet and the IC title. But for now, we'll walk the miles in this bit of danger. Yeah. Well.
Okay.
So.
Look at that.
And even everybody, that was a week ago. That was a week ago, and even everybody's like, I don't know about that, Xavier Woods, but yeah. So we go into this Ronda versus Natty feud. I do not.
How do you feel?
Care? I do not watch. I do not care. I watch about as much SmackDown as anybody who watches the highlights playlist on our YouTube. Like,
wait,
that is what I mean. I do not watch SmackDown. Like, there's no reason for me to. So last week they had the Raquel Rodriguez versus Aaliyah versus Shayna Baszler versus Natty versus Shotzi versus Xia Li 6-pack challenge. They basically did the 6-pack challenge at rinse and repeat for Ronda's opponent. And I was saying, give her Baszler, but no, they went with Natty, which is fine because
they teased the Baszler thing. Like, Baszler had the Kara Fuda clutch, which I realize I've never said out loud before. That's a mouthful. But yeah, she had it. And then Natty got the pin in that moment. Yeah. So, I mean, I'm assuming they'll get to Baszler, Ronda, maybe for SummerSlam.
I have no clue, but Natty gets another summertime feud.
I mean, and you know what? Queen of the summertime feud. I love Natty. She's an icon. You know what's funny about Natty is she'll tweet how iconic she is, and she'll also talk about it as a heel, but it's all true. Like, it's all facts. It's all facts.
It is.
And she's the best there ever is, the best there ever was, the best there will ever be.
The boat. So,
we
got that last week. And then this week, we got Rhonda cutting a promo on Natty, which, if you're looking for it, you will not find it. That promo was so atrocious that they did not include it on the clips on WWE.com, on the YouTube.
Yeah, I was just going to say, as she did the promo, I'm just thinking, because you can find it on YouTube. You can find it on YouTube. Just, it's easy. You just have to search for Rhonda SmackDown promo, and there's they probably won't be up that long. But man, I'm not going to be mad at Natty putting Rhonda in the sharpshooter all summer long, or however long they want to do this. Honestly, give Natty whatever she wants. Natty deserves whatever she wants. She's been around 30 years in WWE or however long, and it's, you know, we love her for that.
Yeah. Shotzi came out, interrupted the really bad promo. Rhonda made a really bad joke about Shotzi's name, but they had the quickest match basically ever, because Rhonda basically just immediately put her in the arm bar.
What did Rhonda say about Shotzi's name?
She was like, so you want a Shotzi? No, it wasn't offensive. It was just a bad joke. She's like, you're Onzi. Like, it was bad. And then Natty came out and put her in the sharpshooter.
So this is Rhonda's gimmick, though. I think we need to start to embrace it. Like, that she's really bad and awkward on the mic. That's not a bad gimmick. I don't know if anyone's ever.
How do you embrace that gimmick? How do you embrace that you're bad on the mic?
Rhonda, go out and be yourself. Do improv.
Do improv. Try. Oh, Jesus. Yeah.
Rhonda Rousey doing improv would be like, it's like the biggest train wreck we'd probably see. It'd probably end in a fight.
So Ricochet loses the Intercontinental title to Gunther, which I'm not surprised. Last week they set up the Intercontinental title match, Ricochet versus Gunther. And Vince McMahon, poor Ricochet. I feel bad for him only because, like, I loved his win. I'm glad he got to hold it. He seemed like he really cared about that title. He got a few matches here or there, but he really didn't get to showcase it. But the moment that Vince McMahon was like, Gunther versus Ricochet, we knew what was going to happen. Like,
and you know what? The other piece of this is Ricochet had a very good moment in terms of his win. Like, even just the fact that I still remember it, you know, he was up against Sami Zayn. It was the Johnny Knoxville thing where he kind of interfered. And then Ricochet hit this, like, death, almost like this, I was going to say death-defying, like, I don't know how he did it, but a, like, almost a, it wasn't a Frankensteiner, but just like a snap hurricane Rana or something like that. That just looked so nasty and clean and beautiful on Sammy, and won the championship. And like, that was the peak of his championship run. Walter, the former Walter, AKA Gunther, looked amazing though, in terms of just like, he looks so different. It's almost like they, like, you know, back in the day when they were like, ooh, we're going to bring in a fake Diesel. I feel like this is like fake Gunther, because he looks so different. He's so slim.
He's slimmer and leaner here.
Yeah. It is wild. But apparently, you know, again, shout out to Fightful. WWE is very into Walter. That was a story that they posted prior to SmackDown, before the championship win, and so it's no surprise there that, you know, he had that long reign in NXT UK, so that kind of gives an idea of how much they loved him. He moved over to the US and he's, you know, he's kind of gone with the punches. He changed his name and embraced that, even while the rest of us were up in arms before we got tired of being up in arms about people's names changing. And, you know, It's great. I want to spend more time like watching more of him. So I am glad that he has the championship, and maybe they'll actually give him a story and a good feud with that.
Yeah, I agree. All right. That's it for the highlights of the week. All of the highlights can be found in a handy playlist in the show notes or show description, so you can watch along with us. We're good. We don't need a final break.
Had enough ads. We're going to get rid of the ads. We do what we want here on the Wrestling Wrap Up. No more ads this episode.
Exactly. So, finally, you know, we normally do the shoot. This is the shoot, but maybe something different. We're just gonna, we're gonna give Naomi her flowers.
Exactly. Just like that.
Okay, so I just want to highlight Naomi because, you know, with the walkout with her and Sasha, you know, I think it tends to be, at least what I'm seeing, a lot of people are like kind of like very focusing on Sasha leaving. Like, even we talk about it because Sasha's like one of the biggest women's wrestlers on the planet. We love her. She's, you know, but I really feel like people like Naomi's kind of getting lost in the shuffle here because she also took a stand and walked out with her tag team partner because she wanted more and wanted better for themselves and the other women on the roster. And we have not heard like not much anything from her social medias.
Yeah.
But it does seem like last week she was like on the beach with Jimmy and stuff like that and their family, or at least she posted that on Instagram. I don't know if that was current or whatever, but we just wanted to shower all the love and light on Naomi, and we hope she's doing okay, and we hope whatever she's doing, she's satisfied doing it. And you know, if she comes back, we would really love for her to come back, but the biggest thing is we just want her to be happy.
Well, Mari, I want to ask you, though, in the context of Naomi, when did you do you remember when you first became a fan of Naomi?
I'll
as you think about that for a second, because I think I might have become I definitely wasn't as much of a fan as you were. Over, you've definitely been a bigger Naomi fan than I have, but I will say, like, I remember her from NXT, the original NXT with AJ Lee and Caitlin, and just seeing her athleticism and seeing a black woman who was able to be athletic without being a stereotype in any ways, or just like good representation, was really powerful. And that was like 2010, maybe 2011 that happened. Yeah. So
I mean, that's far back for you.
Yeah, it was a while ago. It was a while ago. Mm-hmm. But, you know, like, it's so cool because from the beginning, I feel like the seeds of what she could do were all there. And
then it's
just been a process of her like growing into all that she is today, which is obviously so much more fully formed. But she had all the pieces even back then.
Like I said, I think like the first moment I was a fan of Naomi had to be on Total Divas, because I stopped watching in the middle of like the 2010s, 2011 and all that. I had stopped watching, and but I had watched Total Divas, and I'm like, oh my God, she is amazing. And I loved her on Total Divas. So when I honestly did tune back into wrestling around 2014, that's when she was with the Usos, and it was the Uso Crazy, and she was like their valet, and it was them versus the New Heart Foundation, Natalya and Tyson Kidd and Cesaro. And I loved her then, but I want to say like the moment that I was like legit, like when watching her in ring and I was like, I am loving everything about this, was her heel turn in 2015 when she turned on Paige in London. Oh my God. The team bad run and heel Naomi run will forever be like my favorite iteration of Naomi, because I feel like she was like legit just reading girls on the mic as a heel. And I love that for her and everything she was saying, because she was a heel, it was true. And I was like, yes, queen, yes. And then of course Team Bad was like it for me. That like really cemented me, like staying here. I am watching this product like, because I love Naomi, I love Tamina, I love Sasha. And so I'm just so great. We're just so grateful to have had her and seen her grow in her craft. And her 2016 run, her babyface women's championship run was great as well. So,
yeah. And then of course, like just WrestleMania in Orlando. I think WrestleMania yep. 33.
Yeah,
33. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So that would have, yeah. So, yeah, just even her having Naomi having her moment in her hometown, and then mm-hmm. that coupled with seeing her on Total Divas, where, you know, that was also around the time or just shortly after the Pulse nightclub shootings. Mm-hmm. And she was just so loving and caring for the community and representing that in a world where she didn't have to. She's incredible. And unfortunately, I think in a lot of ways, she's ahead of her time and mm-hmm. underappreciated and undervalued. Mm-hmm. Especially when it comes to her athleticism and then the way that she's innovated with the glow. And that it says so much with how over she's been with her glow gimmick from, you know, around that time, 2016, mm-hmm. 2017, yep. Until now, without the company really pushing it, without them really giving her opportunities. The fact that she is still like out there and influencing people so much in such a positive way with a positive message, that's huge. And mm-hmm. I wish that there was more. I wish she got her flowers more. And mm-hmm. I get that not everyone's going to be over and celebrated, but it's kind of a travesty that Naomi hasn't had that. And yet she's still been so awesome and still been such a leader. So she's like, she's next level. She's doing things that the other girls can't do in the ring and out of the ring.
Exactly. She's such an inspiration, like, to the fans and to the wrestlers themselves. Like, Sasha Banks credits her for being an inspiration. Bianca, all of them. Like, she really, like, really helped with opening that door and continuing to open that door for Black women in wrestling. So, shout out to her, you know, and whatever she does, we'll be there. We'll be there.
I think that's the thing. And I think that, you know, I hope for Naomi. And also for, I'm not even going to say just specifically for Sasha, but for mm-hmm. all Black women in wrestling, that they know their power in 2022 and onward, because the support is there. The fandom is there. Like, we will be willing to spend our hard earned money on them and fill the arenas with so many melanated faces to support them wherever they are.
Exactly.
And, you know, that's, I think the other beautiful thing is, the sky, I mean, to borrow from Sasha's theme song, the sky's the limit. You know, we could really see Naomi having a show on E. She's been on E. She's been out there really leading. She's a crossover star in a lot of ways just because she's recognizable. A lot of people know her as Trinity and not even as Naomi as much because of that. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the value where, and by the way, I will say Trinity in my mind, no offense, Naomi, but Trinity, much better name. So
yeah, I mean, it's her birth name. So
exactly, yes, and a much better name. And so, you know what? I'm thrilled for her right now, and I hope it's a sad day. You know, it's a sad time that we might see Naomi and Sasha leave mm-hmm. WWE. But I also think that's an important lesson for us. You know, to see someone like Naomi standing up and saying, "I'm worth more. I deserve better. I'm standing by my friend. I'm going to stand for what I believe in and still thrive and succeed." So I'm ready for it. I can't wait. I don't know what's happening next, but, you know, we are kind of creeping up on that time. Apparently the 2 months, you know, we're getting closer and closer, I guess, to July, maybe, when
but they're saying that they might have frozen their contracts. Like, they can,
you know what? Them,
mm-hmm, so that it'll never. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, they'll do whatever they want to do. But we're going to one day we will see Naomi again, whether that's in a ring or not, in a WWE ring or not. And we're ready for it. You know, I think sometimes some things are worth the wait, and Naomi is worth the wait. Trinity is worth the wait.
Exactly. All right. That's it for this week's episode of Wrestling Rehab. Yeah. Matt, where can the people find you?
Oh, thanks for asking. So the mm-hmm. people can find me here on the Wrestling Rehab Up with you, Mari, each and every week. And the people could also find me on on another Wrap Up Pod Friends, where this week's episode features Grace Leader, who is also known as Stella Skews You. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I always mess that up. So Stella Skews You, and Grace and I have done a lot of great coverage lately together on different shows over on Post Show Recaps, covering season one of Heartstopper on Netflix. And Grace and I could also be found along with Evie Jagoda on The Pride Has Spoken, another special podcast this month on RHAP, where we're talking about the show Survivor and queer representation and what that's looked like. And so that series, for the most part, features interviews that Evie has had with a bunch of different Survivor players, queer Survivor players, including Bryce Isaiah, including Zeke Lirsa, some others coming up. And so check that out. I'll be on the episode that comes out this coming Wednesday doing the introduction and the outro for the interviews that you'll see, which will be, well, check those out because they're with two really iconic Survivor players, Amy and Ty, who again have many experiences when it comes to that representation. And then, you know, more coming this month with The Pride Has Spoken. The other thing I'll mention with The Pride Has Spoken, you know, if you're watching on YouTube right now, you can see me holding up the shirt for The Pride Has Spoken, the official shirt, which is, you can find at robhaswebsite.com/prideshirt. We're selling those. It's kind of like you have a pride flag kind of mixed with the Survivor logo on there, but all proceeds from that are going to this great organization, Gender Benders, which is just an empowering grassroots organization. It's trans-led. It's in the South. And, you know, doing really powerful work that could use support, where donations and proceeds like this will make a difference. So definitely check that out. And finally, you could find me at Matt Scott GW on the social medias and wherever else you could find the Wrestling Wrap Up. But, you know, Mari, you always ask me where the people could find me. But where can the people find you? That's what the people want to know.
Of course, again, the contract is signed. We are here every week for the Wrestling Wrap Up. You can also find me every Tuesday, bringing True Crime Tuesdays to RHAP. Me and Sarah Carradine present the Crime Scene podcast, where each week we put a different true crime property under the magnifying glass. We watch it and let you know if we suggest it or not. So this coming up week, we have, I'm trying to think because we record a lot.
Look at that flex.
Yeah, a flex. So we have the, we're going to be talking about the Hulu docuseries called Captive Audience, the Real American Horror Story. And it is a docuseries on Hulu based off the abduction of Steven Stainer and then the murders that his brother, Kerry Stainer, committed as the Yosemite killer. So very interesting docuseries. We have a great guest in the wonderful Lisa Holmes, the winner of Survivor New Zealand, Thailand. So me and Sarah had a great time interviewing, talking about the property and talking to Lisa. To subscribe to Crime Scene, go to robhasawebsite.com/crimefeed. You can also follow us on Twitter at Crime Scene RHAP. That's Crime Scene as an S-E-E-N R-H-A-P. Go follow us over there. And so you'll know what we'll be watching. We'll tell you what we watch the week before so you can watch it or you can wait and we can save you some time if we don't recommend it. That's where I'm at right now. Just waiting kind of like for Big Brother to start. You know,
That's gonna be a little chill.
Yeah, we're real chill right now. Yeah. So you can also find me on Twitter at Mari Talks Too Much. That's two, like the number two, and that way you'll know everything that I'll be in. Please make sure you subscribe to us at the Wrestling Wrap Up. robhasawebsite.com/wrestlingfeed. Also, please rate, review, and subscribe. Help other people find us. And just see if we got any other plugs.
Yeah. You never know.
Look, that is it.
Some of us stay booked and busy. And you never know, but that's most of it. And again, like, follow Mari on Twitter. There's always the good mix of wrestling, reality TV,
yes,
other things, more other things, and yep, crime.
Crime.
You know, yeah, you know, it's like you go to Mari's street, like, is it going to be a murder or is it going to be Cody Rhodes? And look like,
or is it just me retweeting / shit posting Chappelle? Like, you just never know.
It's the best. We love it. Yeah. I know. I feel like I need to just go to your Twitter more and just scroll down. But anyway, Mari, always great talking with you about the Federation. Yeah. And
remember, wrestling is for everybody, but not all wrestling is for everyone. Bye.
I'm up, lay it down, just like Matt Amari. Wrestling liver half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock, cause I'm driving the Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party. Moolah, Ric Flair, huh? Showing out like Bianca Belair, huh? Best podcast, flushed in the air, huh? Bummer rings and we win it, don't care, huh? No cap. Throw 'em up, lay it down, just like Matt Amari. Wrestling liver half up's gonna make it sorry. Feeling like the Rock, cause I'm driving the Ferraris. And we coming every weekend, it's feeling like a party.